I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. The U.S. mission in Iraq changed 10 days ago. Combat troops left and remaining U.S. forces are charged with helping Iraq take responsibility for its own security. But one thing hasn't changed in Iraq, and that's the fact that 6 months after parliamentary elections, Iraqi politicians still can't agree on a new government. New York Times correspondent Anthony Shadid has been covering the story. He says there's a push on now to break the logjam, and the pressure is coming from two distinct corners.
One option is supported by the United States government, and that envisions an alliance between Prime Minister Maliki and his main secular rival, a man named Iyad Alawi. The other option out there is the proposal that the Iranians are pushing, and that would join Mr. Maliki with his Shiite rivals.
I mean, it's interesting the Iranians and the U.S. are both trying to pitch power-sharing deals to Iraq. What dynamic does that suddenly create?
Well, I think both see themselves as being able to work with Mr. Maliki, with the current prime minister. They see him as somebody that, you know, while he irritates each of them at times, he's someone that they can get along with and they can deal with. I think especially for the Iranians, they don't see an alternative to Mr. Maliki. It is going to say something about the government that takes shape, though. Either formula, you're going to see Mr. Maliki with far less power than he had. It's going to be a government where his authority is curbed. In the American vision, there's going to be a National Security Council that has a lot of power that even with Mr. Maliki's authority. If it's the Iranian proposal, his Shiite partners, again, are going to try to curb his power as much as possible. There's a fear out there that Mr. Maliki has in him an authoritarian streak that could leave a stamp on Iraqi politics for years to come.
Whenever we hear power sharing, we think the Kenya elections, the Zimbabwe elections, and the implication is that it's not an ideal outcome, a sort of shaky compromise that can forecast more trouble to come. Would any power sharing plan for Iraq right now essentially be a shaky compromise?
I think that's a great question. I think whatever government you see coming out of this is going to be a weak government. It's going to be a weak government that's going to have to tackle some of the most nagging and pressing issues that face Iraq, disputed boundaries between Kurds and Arabs, to an oil law that is seen as crucial to bringing any kind of prosperity to Iraq in the years ahead. What you have right now is politics in Iraq that are motivated by fear. And every faction in the country has this deep-seated fear that if it's not in the government, very existence is going to be threatened. That there is no sense of an opposition or a legitimate opposition or an opposition that can play an important role in Iraqi politics. And that's why these negotiations are so intense and so pitched in a certain way.
What is at stake for the U.S. if something doesn't get sorted out with Iraq's civilian government?
It's already embarrassing the American government at this point that it's gone on as long as it has. I mean, we're talking about 6 months here, and you know, the Americans had expected to have a government far before this August 31st deadline that they had set up as a turning point in this seven-year experience there. So there is the issue of embarrassment. There is also the issue of growing frustration in Iraq, discontent across the board, where I think you're reaching a point where you may have the entire political system discredited. It's always struck me in reporting in Iraq that the country feels a lot like it did in 2003 in some respects. And I don't want to overstate that comparison. Back in 2003, you know, as you have now, it's a country that's anxious, it's a country that has an unclear political future. There's a question about American intentions, and there's a lot of ambiguity covering almost everything that goes on in the country today. That's not to mention, of course, more practical issues, electricity, water, sewage, you know, lack of housing, poor education. It's an unsettled place right now. It's probably going to stay that way for a little while.
Anthony Shadid, foreign correspondent for The New York Times, speaking with us from Lebanon. Thank you, Anthony.
My pleasure.